In our first reading today, Ahaz is the king of Judah. Judah is the southern kingdom of Israel. Israel had split. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom became known as Judah. And he had the prophet Isaiah with him. It's strange, isn't it? Isaiah looks at Ahaz and he says, "Ask for a sign. Make it as deep as the netherworld, as high as the mountains." You can understand why maybe Ahaz responded like he did. I mean, aren't we supposed to live our life in faith? You know, we're not supposed to have to hold on to everything, but to believe, you know. And he says, no, I won't do that. I won't put the Lord to the test. But then Isaiah says something very interesting. He said, "Is it not enough that you weary people, that you have to weary God also?" What's this prophet talking about? Well, a little history may help us understand. We're about 800 years before Christ comes to earth. And as I said earlier, the kingdoms have split. The northern kingdom, Israel, has allied itself with Assyria, which is marching across the Middle East on its way to do battle with Egypt. Judah's caught in the middle of it. Egypt is trying to woo Ahaz to side with them. Ahaz is not too sure what to do. He's decided to send out, he wants to form an alliance with Assyria. So he sent out people to meet with the Assyrians, and he's actually began to perform some of the Assyrian ceremonies in the temple. This is what the prophet's talking about. Are you not enough to weary the people with the Assyrian things? Did you have to weary God also? Isaiah's trying to tell him, trust in God. God has promised to protect you. Believe in God. Maybe the question the prophet should have asked is, who's in charge here? If you're looking around and see what's going on all around him, I would probably think Ahaz would have said, Assyria is, because they're the one marching this way. And it's there that he chose to cast his lot. For Isaiah, there was only one in charge, God himself. What happened, you ask? It didn't work. Ahaz lost everything. The Egyptians left him because he tried to make a pact with the Assyrians, and the Assyrians just marched right over the top of him. He lost it all because he didn't trust in God. Emmanuel, God is with us, did come and pass judgment on Judah. Eventually, though, the God would restore the kingdom and defeat the Assyrians. Now, our gospel today might be termed from something more of what would be from Paul Harvey. It might be what would be known as called the rest of the story. Of course, we all know of the Annunciation, where the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary. And there in front of her was the angel, and he gave her the good news that she would be conceive of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph got left in the dark about that. All he knows is he's betrothed, he's married to a woman. But in the Jewish faith, there's a time when you're married, but you don't live together yet. This is called the betrothal. Suddenly, his wife is pregnant. It says that being a just man, he is a just man. He knows what the law is, but he does not want to shame her. What he wants to do is send her away quietly. It's not to save face. It's because if he exposes her, she will be stoned. She will die. And yet we hear that an angel came to him in a dream. And he told him some very important things. First off, he said, have faith. Child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He will be holy. And then he gave Joseph a part to play. See, only a father named a child. And he said, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And of course, we know that when Joseph awoke, he took Mary into his home. And history, we know the history from there. In fact, what we're about to celebrate is coming. Jesus is born. He lives with Mary and Joseph in the context of the family. For 33 years, he walks this earth until he gives his life for us on the cross. So what is this first reading? What does this gospel have for us? Well, we don't have a prophet. We don't have an angel. Maybe an angel will appear to you, but it's not going to be a cute little baby with wings. I understand they're pretty fearsome looking things. They stand in awe in the majesty of God. But God comes to you in many and varied ways. Each week you're here, and you hear God's word. We hear just as today how 4,000 years ago in the Old Testament, Christ fulfilled that with his coming. And we hear the words of Christ, and we know what it is that God wants for us. God wants us to be with him. But God leaves us to make choices. We have to choose. Will we play our part? We know that God is visible here in his word and in sacrament. Because Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood." We know that God asks us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus gives us the example of how to live, to see need, to help others, to be merciful. Mercy is the heart of the law. But the choices are ours. Do we choose to play our part? Do we choose to take what we hear here, what God inspires us to do, and do we do anything with it? Do we live it 7 days a week? Or do we live it for an hour on one? Does our life give witness to what we truly say we believe? We profess it. But does our life witness it? These are the choices. Do we do what we know that is part of our plan for God's part of salvation? Do we be Christ to other people? Or do we choose our allegiances with the world? Do we stand up for what we believe in when it's difficult? Or do we choose the easy way and say nothing? Does it make a difference in our life? Or is it just something we do? Is it not better to come before God with a heart that has no words? Does it sit here that have a lot of this and say a lot of words that have no heart? You see, during the Advent season, we proclaim and we celebrate Christ's coming, his two comings. The fact that he has already come again, which we will celebrate at Christmas here in just a couple of days, his birth on earth. But we'll also celebrate the fact that Christ will come again. How or when, I don't know. Christ will come at the end of time. Whether that is the end of time as we know it, simply your end of time here on earth. And what we do know is that Christ came as our merciful Savior. In his second coming, he will be our just judge. What kind of witness will our life give in front of the judge? What kind of witness, the things and the choices, the allegiances we formed, or the faithfulness that we've kept? What will that say about us? When God looks upon us, what will we remind him? What will we remind him of? Ahaz or Joseph?